The first thing that you'll notice being here is that a slightly different format than what we've seen in the past. Really small groups and really focused on skill development. Since you've been here, the evolution of development camp has been pretty rapid. Mm-hmm. I know you've been asked a lot of questions about it, but just take us through this year's format and why it's different, what's different about it, all of that type of stuff.
Well, I think the first thing was we just realized, you know, the last couple of years, a lot of picks, a lot of new players coming into the system. And as much as we've really enjoyed having, you know, 35 to 40 kids here, and we have had some success with some of the free agents, we just really believe that the drafting and development piece has to be good. So we want to get as many touches, as many opportunities to get our kids here and get our people to be able to help them, work with them, put a plan together for them moving forward. And with some of the new NCAA rules, we won't see a lot of these kids in September.
Yeah.
So really imperative that we're able to get the time here now with them so we can, again, get whether it's skills, skating, off ice, you know, mental performance, nutrition, whatever it is, just make sure that we can understand what their needs are and then make sure that they leave here with a good plan. So like some of these guys we'll see this week, but then we won't see them till season start for them. So really important to be able to get them here. You know, we've obviously added people to the staff, get them to meet them, and then leave them here knowing that, hey, we're all on the same sheet of music and we got a good plan moving ahead.
I didn't even think about the NCAA and the rule change there. Like, that's a good chunk of your guys that would have come to a rookie camp, that would have come to training camp and now won't. That does change things pretty significantly.
Yeah, because you get them for almost 2 weeks potentially, maybe more with some of these guys, right? So, that's a tough thing. And I get it. I think, you know, you balance, you know, the development over the course of a year in an NCAA program over missing that, you know, whatever it is, five days to 10 days to 2 weeks. And I do think that overall it's going to be good for some of these players to do that. But it is tough for them because, like, Muse and Misa, they were all – like, Muse played against Connor McDavid last year. You can't put a price on that stuff.
Yep.
Like, how you learn by him playing in those games. But having said that, you know, going to the programs they're going, the off-ice situation they're dealing with, playing against older, stronger, faster players, you know, they're not going to be playing against 16, 17, and 18-year-olds. They're going to be playing against men, and we think that is a big piece to the next step in their development.
Yeah. Muse played against Connor McDavid.
Yeah.
He did in that game. I totally forgot about
it. I think Draisaitl played in that game too.
Yeah. All of a sudden, you're playing a pretty full meal deal on the other side of things.
Yeah. So you can't put a price on that experience. But again, we're talking about a 6-month period versus a 2-week period, right?
And I also know for a lot of guys, no Penticton and not that opportunity to kind of be with each other as a team. So a little bit more important to get some team building things during this week too, I would imagine.
Yep. And you know, we're doing some fun things. We're taking them up to Banff for the day and night, and that'll be a fun night. Nice dinner in Lake Louise and a nice hike in Banff. And I think we're going to the Stamps game tomorrow night.
Okay.
So, yeah, we got lots of good things planned. But, you know, the reason for the change on the ice is, again, it's you know, in July, do you really need to, you know, be out there scrimmaging? A lot of these guys haven't even been on the ice yet.
Yep.
So to ask them to go into a scrimmage, you know what it's like as a player. You're competitive. There's fans in the stands. There's coaches on the benches. Like, you're gonna go all out. And we just didn't think that made sense. Why would you risk any sort of injury and those types of things when we need them to have a great 2 months following this camp? So the individual skills, it's not just the skills in skating. It's Ricky and his staff being able to spend – you know, they're going to spend 2-3 hours with these kids, really getting to know them, watch their form, how do they lift, how do they move, you know, getting to know them as people, how they work, you know, their attitude in the gym, all that stuff. And, you know, I just talked to Ricky, and he was like, it's invaluable having this one-on-one time, where before it's like you got 40 guys and you're trying to manage all of them and make sure everyone feels good when they leave here, that, you know, they felt like they got, you know, a good experience at camp. So, you know, really important, I think, to, you know, understand why we did this and sort of the mindset behind it.
I'm always curious from your standpoint as the development group, like for a lot of these guys, I think Staxelius, like he was on a flight the very next day because he's coming from Sweden to get out here. Like, these guys were just drafted on the weekend.
Yep.
So you go through that. Like, I would imagine you you finally see the whites in their eyes, and they're like, "Holy, what is going on? How do you go about like maybe calming the nerves and bringing them a little bit more back down to earth after what has been a whirlwind last less than a week?"
Yeah, I mean, the good thing is we got to have a meeting with them Monday night, and everyone met everybody. So that first initial meeting, really, now they know names, they know faces, and at the end of the day, we let them know this isn't supposed to be a stressful time. This is about us getting to know you.
Yeah.
You guys getting to know us. We're getting some data points on you. We're getting to understand you. But this isn't, you're not trying to make a team here. You're trying to just learn and leave here with a good plan. Training camp's different, right? It's like, okay, now it's, a little bit, we're trying to make a team. We're trying to, turn some heads and those types of things. But I think taking the scrimmage out and taking some of the practices that are more intense, more high stress, I think it helps them. It's just like, there's no need for them. Like, a lot of them are calling me beforehand saying, what are we doing on the ice? And I was like, guys, just relax. Like, cause some of them haven't skated.
Yeah.
So it's like, I haven't skated, then I'm going to jump in and they're going to ask me to play a game. Like, so I think it made sense to sort of go to this format and take some of that pressure off them and focus on the individual. How do we plan to make them better and making sure they're leaving here feeling good about that plan moving forward?
So you got an interesting mix. You got first timers here. You also have some guys who are now at their third development camp. What you're probably looking for some of those players. I talked to Etienne, for instance, a little while back. He's like, hey, I want to make sure that I'm setting the tone and helping guys because I've done this before.
Yep.
You're probably looking for that for some of the guys who have been here before, aren't
100%.
You?
100%. Etienne's a perfect example. Like, we don't have a lot of guys here for the third camp, but Etienne was a little different scenario. He wanted to make sure that he played till June. So where are you? Where's your body at? Where you are mentally? How are you feeling? So it was important to get him and just get a sense of where he's at physically, mentally, all of it. So like, that's why he's here. Normally he probably wouldn't come. Jameson's a great example. Like, so he's going to Denver. Well, he's got school. So he's already enrolled in school and taking school and Jamie's a guy that's just, like, he won our fitness testing last year. So there was no real need to have him here because of the shape he's in, the type of situation he's in, and we know he's at a great program in Denver. So everybody we looked at, individually, and okay, should he be here? Why should he be here? And how does it help him to be here versus, there's some guys that have great programs where they are back home, and there's no need to rip them out of that situation to bring him here. Let's say at the end of the day, it's 5 days, but out 2 travel days, so it's 7 days. Why would you rip him out of that situation unless you absolutely needed to do it?
It's just the overall science of a development camp. It's really taken a step over the last decade or so. Like, it's turned into something that you put a lot of thought into, yeah, as opposed to, hey, let's just get them out there and start doing some practices and doing some scrimmages, which is for the longest time how it always was done.
Right. And we met in Penticton last year, and Jerome was a big part of it, obviously, with Dave coming on board and Connie, sort of in charge now. Like, we all sat down. We're like, okay, is what we're doing makes sense, right? And so we went through it all, and as a development team, like, we're adamant about, we need to get to see these guys at least once because of just what we talked about. And NCAA guys, we won't see them in the fall. The rules are such now, Pat, where there's certain things you can't do in the summer anymore. So this is really the one time that we get to see the whites of their eyes, get some data points on them, and then send them away. If you send them away with a plan, if you didn't do that, now you're talking about like physically going to their cities, trying to get our staff out everywhere. So it's the one time we can get them all here with all of our staff members.
Ray Edwards is with us, the director of player development, a group that has grown in the last few days. Brent Seabrook added to the group, a 3-time Stanley Cup champion and all that NHL experience under his belt. How did Brent joining your staff come to be?
Well, Connie approached me on it. Gosh, I want to say it was around the trade deadline. We were in the office, and he brought me in and said, like, what would you think of this? And, of course, you're like, well, of course. This is a no-brainer. So I sort of left it with him and the senior management to work it out with Brent. And then just last week he came in and said, we're going to do this. And so I got to talk to Brent and sort of talk about the job a little bit and what the expectations were. And we're going to actually – he flew in this morning from Kelowna, so we'll get to sit down here the next couple of days and dig into it a little bit more with a fine-tooth comb. But obviously, when you're talking about a guy like Brent, like you're just ecstatic to be able to learn from him. Right away, the players have this respect, and they know who this guy is. He's won 3 Stanley Cups. He's been an amazing NHL player for a long time. So just to have him on the staff, obviously you guys know we've got some high-end young defense. And yeah, with him and Stoney, you know, coupled working together, I think it's a great tag team duo. And I think right now we're thinking Brent's going to be more – sort of a support guy with the American League team and focus more on the pro guys, where Stoney will be out in the field with our amateur guys,
okay,
chasing those guys around and helping that group. So they both will connect with the American League stuff and some NHL stuff as well. But having somebody with the Wranglers every day, you know, it's hard with Stoney because he's out and about. And so, yeah, did he get to 15, 20 American League practices? Probably. But we want someone there every day to work with that group of guys to help Joe out and Brett with their group there. So it was a good fit. Obviously ecstatic to have him and can't wait to get working with him.
So he'll be an everyday member of this Wranglers kind of coaching development squad.
Yeah,
right?
That's the plan. And again, you know, depending on Zane's situation and who we have with the NHL team and with their schedule, as you guys know, that schedule this year is going to be tough. With the Olympic break, there's not going to be a ton of practice time, but I know Ryan would definitely look to utilize Siebes in some specific areas there with, you know, whether it's Zane or other young defensemen.
Yeah. And I mean, what can a guy like that bring to – you talk about how there's an instant respect from the players.
Yeah.
Like what can he bring to your group?
Well, he's seen everything. Right, there's no experience that these guys are gonna feel or sense or be in that Siebes hasn't dealt with. And again, it's like, you know, Stoney's got his sort of niche that he's got to deal with. It was you only have one Stoney. There's not enough of him to go around, so we needed to bring in another piece to help with that young group and with the Solos and the Kuznetsovs and the Poiriers and the Briseviches and Zane, and like that's a big group of players at the pro level that we need those guys to be players. So looking forward to working with Siebes. He'll be awesome. It's already been great to kind of get to know him and stuff, and he's fitting right in like you'd think he would.
You've mentioned Zane's name a couple of times. He enters training camp this year and a lot of expectation to maybe be an NHLer. What's your read on him coming to development camp, though, knowing that that's what a lot of the conversation is in a few months? What's, like, just the approach, the attitude, all that type of stuff? Are you liking what you're seeing from Zane at this camp?
100%. And, you know, we obviously stay in touch. And Ricky was in there a couple of weeks ago just to check in on him with his training and meet his trainer and all those types of things. And, you know, we're always texting and communicating, so we stay in touch with these guys. But again, with Zane, it's more about, okay, where's your body at? What do we need to change? If we need to change anything, maybe we don't, but how do we adjust for these next couple of months, knowing how important these next couple of months are? And then it's, okay, training camp is this day. When are you coming in? What's the best way to prepare you for training camp? Obviously, we got Brownie here. We got all the resources for him just to check in with him and make sure there's nothing that we're missing, and that when he leaves here, like, we've got a good plan for him for the next couple months.
I don't know if we've had a chance to chat since he made his NHL debut.
Yeah.
But I know that, you know, since he was drafted, you've been the guy that has been really in contact with him the most on the development path. Had to be kind of like a proud papa moment seeing him not only make his NHL debut, but score that goal and play the way that he did.
It's really cool because obviously Idar played the same game, so I spent a lot of time with Idar as well. So just to see both those guys, you know, get that opportunity and then have success with that opportunity was really nice. And, yeah, I mean, you know, I get to the point where you get to know, you know, whether it's the agent or the family or, you know, friends, you see him at games and you have that. You have that relationship. So it's hard not to get, you know, closer with these guys because you spend a lot of hours, a lot of video time, a lot of, like, you're at games with them, you're taking them to dinner. Like, so seeing those moments, it's sort of like a proud papa, if you will. And you just want them to have success. And all you're trying to do is put them in a situation to succeed. So we just got to keep grinding away with them. It's not, you know, it's not perfect yet, but there's, as you guys know, we got a hell of a player there. So it's just a matter of fine-tuning it for him to be an everyday NHL player.
And boy, it sure does feel like in the year that he's been a member of the Flames organization, the experience at training camp last year and how he's spoken openly about how much that humbled him, and the slow start to the season and the World Junior situation. Like, he's taken some knocks, and it sure does feel like he's taken those the right way and used them the right way.
Yeah, I think it's, again, you know, these are young men that are still learning, and they're getting a lot thrown at them, and it's never easy. And, you know, again, we have a great support staff, whether it's Brownie or the coaches or the development staff, to help them get through those things. And I think, you know, training camp last year, everyone knows that it was an eye-opener for him, and he'll tell you that. But I think he's learned from it, and I think you can tell how he's learned from it just based on how he came back and how that whole situation went, and obviously the World Championship. So he obviously has taken that and learned from it. And, we talked a lot over the course of the summer about the game part and the areas he's got to focus on, but it's that mental preparation too, knowing that, okay, this is how this is. This is what it looks like. This is what it feels like. And then these are the areas I got to get better at.
Let me ask you about Andrew Bacha. Yep. I had a chance to chat with him, and boy, that ankle injury, he was playing through it for the better part of a year. Then all the months of rehabbing and going through that process. It's been about a year and a half process for him, and now he's back. He says he feels like he can finally skate normally again. It sure does feel like maybe there's a little bit more that we haven't really been able to see from this young man, knowing how tough the last year and a half has been.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we're really looking forward to training camp this fall just to see him healthy again. But the work that this young man put in this year is crazy. And obviously, you know, our medical staff, you know, Scott Sear led sort of the rehab, but Kent and his group are amazing. And obviously the strength and conditioning people to get him back to play in that final series with Medicine Hat was amazing. And obviously coming in and being able to have an impact and then getting to the Memorial Cup. So I think for him, it was really important to get on that ankle in high stress games and environment, knowing that, okay, this thing is good. So now he's been able to have a heck of a summer, and we'll continue to grind away from him. But excited, I think we're all excited to see him with that ankle at 100% come the fall.
Just the way the birth years go, like, he's eligible for pro next year. Yep. Etienne Morin's eligible. As a development staff, what can you do to prepare them to make the jump from junior to the American League?
Yeah, great question. I think that's our focus now with those guys. There will be some video involved just in terms of how we play, the things that they have to do to be pro players. And you guys know this. I mean, they're highly skilled, highly offensive players. But to play pro, you have to have detail to your game. You have to know how to check. You got to know how to read rush. You got to be able to understand how to deal with pressure. And Matt had a great chat last night about dealing with pressure and what happens when you go from amateur to pro.
Yeah.
And all those things come into it. So we're just trying to prepare them for that. And the big thing is being ready for that, you know, that first rookie game against Edmonton, and making sure that they understand that, like, you're trying to make a hockey team now. This isn't about anything else other than we're trying to win hockey games, and you got to show your best. And at the end of the day, you'll be evaluated. So we've got to make sure that we have them prepared for that.
Last one for you, and kind of back to the hiring of Brent, but your staff doesn't get smaller like that. And in this day and age, a lot of things are getting downsized, and yet, you know, you take a look every year, it feels like your group is growing, whether it was Danielle being added or Matt coming on full time and Michael Stone being added. And now Brent Seabrook, that has to make you feel, just the value that the organization puts into the development side of things has to be really encouraging for you.
Well, I think it goes back to Craig and the mindset of, we have to draft and we have to develop. And it also is the fact that I think we had 10 last year. We have 8 this year.
Yeah.
We're probably going to have another 8 to 10 next year. So you can't do that with 3 people. It's just impossible. So and then to specifically find the guys that fit into certain areas, like we needed that sort of guy to potentially be with that American League group of defensemen to help Joe out and Brett there. Like, that's an important piece. So, like, Siebes fits right into that. And then allows Stoney to dig into the Jamesons and the Muses of the world. Like, he's got to spend time with those guys, and those guys have to improve. So, you know, Marty's awesome, always awesome. You know, whether it's Danielle or Matt Brown or Darren Romerdahl or Dean Seymour we added from as a skills coach. Like all these areas, like, you know, it's you got to juggle it, but you know, we have the right people in place now. It's taken some time to get here, but I feel like we're finally in a spot where we can be, you know, an elite development team.
Thank you, Ray. Appreciate the time
love
as always.
Yep, appreciate it, bud.